like to call the State Energy Committee in order this morning, 7:33 a.m., March 21st, 2013. We have our Lyle moderator. I want the record to reflect that Senators Coghill, Senators Machicki, Senators Egan, and myself and our guest to the committee, Senator Giesel. My committee staff is Pete Feldman. Today we have the Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, Commissioner Dan Sullivan. Joe Balash will be along shortly. I think you had some other staff in the room there. Good morning, Mr. Heidelberg.
Morning.
And they're going to give us an overview of the APP project. So the floor is yours. Gentlemen, tell us how we're going to get gas.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you very much for the opportunity to provide an overview update on what's been happening with regard to the state's gas commercialization efforts. The goal for this morning, in some ways it'll be a bit of a review, but also what we thought would be important for this committee to have an update of what's been happening. Be focusing mostly on the APP, but broader issues, some on AGDC as well, the state's efforts, because one of the things that we're going to I'm going to try and emphasize is how certain different initiatives, different pieces with regard to state initiatives, how we see them fitting together, and that includes the governor's interior energy and LNG trucking plan as well. And importantly, also, we want to just touch base on what we see as important milestones, actions moving forward, and how what our message has been and what we hope will be different legislators' messaging on this to the different stakeholders we think is pretty key, that we're all kind of singing from the same sheet of music, because I think a lot of these things, when you see where we've been and what we have before us, I think that having a joint state effort from all policymakers is pretty key. And Mr. Chairman, just real quick, I know that you'll see here we have a sense of optimism on this, but we also recognize that commercializing North Slope gas has been a 40-year-plus quest. So there's a lot of skepticism. We see the skepticism as healthy. But also, again, just because we haven't been able to do this over the last four decades doesn't mean that we're stuck in that kind of paradigm forever. And we think that there's ways to break out. We think there's opportunity. So that's going to be part of the message this morning. So without further ado, I'll just move into this overview presentation, some of which you have seen previously, some of which is somewhat new, and respecting that many of you were up late last night, I will try to power through this quickly and be ready to answer questions, to have Joe or Eric also take questions from the committee. So,
excuse me, Commissioner, if you'd like Eric to
yeah, Eric.
The table, come
yeah,
on. I'd like to have Eric up.
Absolutely, please. Mr. Balash may be sleeping through his alarm.
Eric, if you'd just go ahead and put your name on the record.
Yeah, I'm Eric Halberg. I'm the project manager from the Gas Pipeline Project Office.
So here's a quick overview of the outline, what we'd like to cover. And Mr. Chairman, these first two slides, this committee doesn't really need to go over. You've seen these many times, but this slide here is important because it shows you what the opportunities are and one of the reasons why we think that getting gas not only to the markets but certainly importantly to our citizens is absolutely critical, and we certainly have a lot of opportunity on the North Slope in terms of resources. So what I'd really like to do, Mr. Chairman, is focus on kind of taking a step back. One of the things that we've seen that we think is important to recognize is, as I mentioned, 40-year quest, but it's also important to recognize that there's no big bang theory here. There's no light switch that's going on. We think that the progress that's got to be made in terms of commercializing North Slope gas, it's going to have to be steady, progressive, step by step. And importantly, we think if you look at where we were, say, beginning of 2012, and fast forward where we are now, we do think that there's been substantial progress. So, you know, a little over a year ago, beginning of 2012, you didn't have the companies working together, the producers working together at all. In fact, Conoco and BP had folded Denali. You had Exxon and TransCanada still officially looking at the lower 48 market despite rising opportunities in Asia. You had Point Thompson still being fought over. And very importantly, you had, with regard to what was going on globally in terms of where Alaska was on the map, where people were talking about the opportunities for commercializing North Slope gas, particularly with regard to filling the very strong demand that's rising in Asia, we weren't ever talked about. We weren't on the map. We weren't part of the discussion. And I think what I want to demonstrate here is you fast forward a year, and all of that has changed. Again, we have a long way to go, as the governor said in his State of the State, but we have made progress, and I think it's important to recognize that progress and for the public to recognize that progress, because if there's too much cynicism, you can always get yourself in a circular spiral of never actually making this happen. So, Mr. Chairman, these are important issues. I know you've seen these before, but I would like to review these. In 2012, what the governor did, so a year ago in his State of the State, he laid out a roadmap for gas line progress in the state's interest. I won't go through each of these points on what he mentioned, the 5 points here with regard to gas line progress, but I do remember having, you know, obviously worked with the governor on this. After the speech, you had a number of folks that came up to me saying, hey, wow, that's a good speech, great benchmarks, but good luck on those, right? Some of those you've never achieved, we have never achieved ever in the state's history. Now you're going to do this in the next 3 months or 6 months. And the other thing the governor has talked about, and I do want to talk about this for a minute, is as we look kind of strategically at key principles for any project, that first one we see is the most important, getting gas to Alaskans first, quickly as possible, at a cost that's not prohibitive, and that's in many ways the focus of the Interior Energy and LNG Trucking Plan. It's also been the focus of AGDC, which has been really important. And then the second bullet there is at the same time looking at maximizing the value of the state's massive resource, large volumes that bring us the most opportunity and the lowest costs. And that's been, in many ways, the focus of the APP project. And so we see these goals not at all as conflicting, but in many ways as complementary. And the ultimate goal here is to have a project that incentivizes both gas and oil exploration. That means, from our perspective, having two large pipes off the North Slope, a big oil pipe, which we currently have, that needs to be filled, and a big gas pipe. That way, in the broader strategic scheme of what we're looking at in terms of the future, if you have a company up on the North Slope looking for gas, they're likely to find oil, and they got a place to put it, and vice versa. And so that's kind of how we've been thinking about this project. The governor laid out roadmaps or benchmarks in 2012. And what happened, and I know this is review, but again, I'd like to touch on it. You did see all those benchmarks being met. So the first one, which we saw was very important, was alignment. You haven't seen that in a long time, some people would say ever, with regard to big gas commercialization efforts. Right now, we have that alignment. Importantly, this was a letter to the governor from the CEOs of the major North Slope producers. And although it's not impossible to commercialize North Slope gas without this kind of alignment, keeping and achieving this alignment is not always easy. These three companies have different levels of motivation, different levels of capital ability. But this alignment issue, we think, is important because it does make commercializing North Slope gas, from our perspective, easier when there's alignment among the different stakeholders, including the state, but importantly, the producers. So you saw that in the first quarter of last year. And importantly, you also saw the other benchmark that was met. This is commercializing North Slope gas in the form of the settlement of Point Thompson. Mr. Chairman, we've talked about this before, but we see this settlement strongly in the state's interest. We've testified in front of the legislature on all the aspects of it, but for three major reasons. First, as you look at this map, commercializing North Slope, or the settlement of Point Thompson, we see as strategic for the, a strategic development for the state. First and foremost, because we think it's going to open up the eastern North Slope, which has never produced one molecule of hydrocarbons, gas or oil, despite the fact that it is one of the most prolific regions of the state, probably one of those prolific regions in terms of hydrocarbons in the country. You see it's right next to Anwar on this map. Having a pipeline, having infrastructure that's now going to connect that part of the state into TAPS with a 70,000-barrel-a-day pipe for liquids, we think is very important to open that up to smaller explorers, smaller companies that now will have a place to, if they find, and we think they will, hydrocarbons in that region to plug in to infrastructure, into TAPS, and we think that that's one reason. The second is that we see this as a pre-investment for gas commercialization. I'll go through the infrastructure, but a significant portion of the infrastructure that's currently being built right now can be used for gas commercialization. 25% of North Slope conventional known gas on the North Slope is at Point Thompson. The companies are now spending multiple billions to develop that field. We see that that is important from a strategic perspective as a down payment, pre-investment to commercialize that gas. And finally, Mr. Chairman, I'll talk about it very briefly here. We see it as a strategic development for the reasons of jobs. And I've done it before, but I want to compliment you in particular. As we were working that settlement, the former commissioner of the Department of Labor was calling my office very regularly on making sure we had a darn strong Alaska hire provision in the settlement. We did. It was language that you and I worked on together. And I think what you're starting to see, and I'll go through these slides quickly, is that as the developers have predicted, hundreds of jobs right now, hundreds that are being created, high-paying jobs, peaking at what they say over 2,000. And so as I mentioned, we see this as strategic for a number of reasons, and this is private sector money pouring into the state right now that we think is absolutely critical that relates to gas commercialization. And what we did in 2012, Mr. Chairman, you look at that last bullet, is three different things. Explain to the legislature and the public the settlement. Very importantly, permitted this with the Corps, with the North Slope Borough, with all the other state agencies to make sure that we are building this winter. And then starting to build it this winter, making sure the ice roads are in place and having the work that's being done up there right now. So this just gives you a quick layout of the development. Importantly, since the last time I've testified on this, you see that West Pad. That's a well that's required to be drilled pursuant to the settlement. The requirement was actually for 2016-2017. That's a very big, complex well. The companies have now said they're going to move that date up, which I think is good for all of us in terms of jobs, in terms of getting this development moving. So that's actually going to be moved up to 2015-2016, which is when the first phase of the settlement, the liquids and the phase one have to be online pursuant to the settlement. And that's 3 years from now. That's pretty fast in terms of a development in a remote area, this location. So that's an update on this, that that West Pad is going to be spudded and drilled at least a year prior, if not more, than what was required by the settlement. Again, you just look at some of the slides here with regard to what they're going to be doing in terms of what they're building. This is an important slide. Gives you a sense of that 70,000-barrel-a-day pipe that's connecting TAPS. Point Thompson to TAPS. And then, as I mentioned, Mr. Chairman, I think you've seen this slide, but we're starting to see the work that is kind of being farmed out to a whole host of companies in the state of Alaska, and we think that that's very positive for our citizens and very positive for the economy. So that's just an example there. So, again, we see this as important. The governor, you know, I think when he laid out the benchmarks, action-forcing events, making sure this happened by the first quarter, get this going. And when these first two benchmarks were met last March, what we thought was also important, certainly what I see as important from the perch that we sit at a DNR and in Eric's position is what we also saw was very significant front page national and international press with regard to what was happening in Alaska, positive news, and I can't tell you how important that is to have people reading in Asia, in the rest of the country, on the front page of the Financial Times or the front page of the Wall Street Journal, hey, look what's going on in Alaska, look at the movement, look at the action, look at the progress, and we saw that as important. There was articles throughout the year. Mr. Chairman, what happened next was the third quarter benchmarks with regard to the governor said he wanted the numbers hardened, he wanted an associated timeline with regard to the project. Again, this is where he got the companies met this. You've seen this letter, but what I do want to emphasize here, also saw when that letter came out, again, front page, huge front page Wall Street Journal article. Importantly, which I really liked, front page Globe and Mail article in Canada, which was essentially saying, hey, our competition's starting to wake up. The sleeping giant up north might actually get its act together, and the Canadians, which I see as probably some of our biggest competitors, started to say, holy cow, we might need to get on it with our own project with that article. But what was important in that letter, Mr. Chairman, was the attachments. And there are three. I'm going to touch on these for a minute, particularly the last one. This first one just showed the integrated team that's currently working on this. This is important because, again, it demonstrates it's one thing for the CEOs to say, hey, we need to work on this. We're going to align. It's another thing for these companies to integrate their efforts, to have a project lead, to bring their specific expertise, because they all have different expertise, Conoco with liquefaction, TransCanada with pipeline building, BP with regard to the facilities on the North Slope, bring the work that they've been doing, whether it's been in Denali, whether it's been part of the APP, whether it's been the previous work they've done, which is a little older but still important, bringing all that together and integrating a team. You know, Mr. Chairman, these companies have different cultures. They have different outlooks, and we see this as important. I'm frequently asked, hey, is this real? Is this a bunch of, you know, baloney here? You know, I think it's, A, very important to ask the companies, but the more they work together, the more they come up and have an integrated team. You know, the last briefing they said that 200-plus people work in this, spending tens of millions. You know, we see that as important progress. And if it's real, you know, I'm not sure that I see this as a giant head fake here. We see this as progress that getting that integrated work together is important. Secondly, they laid out in February, they did a little bit more or a significant more concept selection work. But what they did, what they started, what the governor asked for was harden the numbers, put more meat on the bones of this project. And what they did, and again, you've seen this slide, but the point here is this, given our massive resource, this would be, in these numbers, this would be one of the largest LNG projects in the world.
I'd like to let the record reflect, excuse me, Commissioner, Senator Wilikowski has joined us this morning. Welcome.
And then third, Mr. Chairman, and I do want to spend a little bit of time on this slide. The governor asked for associated timeline. And this is a slide that we certainly want the legislature to be familiar with. You know, there's always kind of statements, hey, this is the first time ever. But you do have something that we think is fairly important with regard to this slide, because what the companies did, and this is their timeline, right? One of the key things that we've been doing with them is trying to accelerate this timeline whenever we sit down and talk to them. And that's probably the biggest message that we would want to leave this committee as you are talking to these companies, which I know you do frequently, sending the message to push on an accelerated timeline, keeping them to this, but trying to accelerate this is something that as policymakers, from the legislature, as policymakers, from the executive branch, if we're doing that together, we think that it's strongly, strongly in the state's interest. So what does this do? This lays out the stage-gated approach that any large-scale development huge mega project like the one that they're contemplating here needs to go through. Since October, we've actually moved through another stage gate. So that's an update. They've finished their concept selection, and I will tell you that the companies weren't all aligned on when they wanted to make that happen. The governor laid out when he wanted it to happen in his second state of the state, and we got there. But the other thing that is important here is this timeline underneath. It lays out all the different things that need to happen with regard to commercial activity, with regard to engineering activity, with regard to regulatory activity. It's a complicated table, but we think it's really important because if we can get that, you look at that middle box there, the pre-FEED, pre-front-end engineering and design. We are pushing the companies to move into that stage, move into that gate late spring, sometime this summer. Governor laid out what he expected in his latest state of the state. And again, the message that we want to leave here, the most important message, we really think that you start getting there where they're spending hundreds of millions, having hundreds of employees, you know, in the middle of this, that's going to be really, really significant for the state and really significant for this project. The other thing that's important to keep in mind is, you know, there's a focus, of course, when gas would come to Alaskans, but one of the key boxes that we see on this timeline is the sanction decision. When companies sanction, you know, it's FID, final investment decision, sanction, there's a whole bunch of different names of it. That's really the go, no-go point. And, you know, we've been obviously pushing on that. We'd love that as early as a 2015 time frame. You should know, and I think we've briefed before, we put incentives in the Point Thompson settlement that say, hey, if you sanction by any time earlier than May 2016, okay, in terms of what you have with regard to acreage, that becomes unitized if you can do that. So we, again, from the state's perspective, pushing them on these sanction decisions, moving through the stage gates, is really critical and why we think this is an important task, because now we have a document that shows how they're thinking about it, shows what they view as kind of the timelines, they're a little broad, and shows how they view the spending that they would do, the people they have on it, and the other things that need to happen as this moves forward. Some of those relate to the state, some of those relate to commercial issues, some of those relate to the federal government. But we think this is an important document, and again, one message we would encourage this committee and the rest of the members of the legislature, when you're meeting with the companies, remind them, we're watching. We want you moving through these gates fast. And I think that's the most important message we want to send today. So, Mr. Chairman, so that was the benchmarks. The other important one that the governor laid out was the work between APP, that's TransCanada, Exxon, and AGDC. And the governor laid out how important it is for the work that these companies need to start doing together. And they signed an MOU in the third quarter about cooperating. And I will tell this committee, whether it's Eric, whether it's me, whether it's Joe, the relationship that the state, as we're pursuing this, has with the other state effort, AGDC, is really, really strong. Great cooperation. We think that that's what you, as the legislature that's funding both of these efforts, would want to see. And importantly, at this juncture, the efforts have been very complementary. They have not been duplicative in the fact that, as I mentioned, AGDC has had this focus on in-state gas to Alaskans as soon as possible. But also their focus and their progress over the last year has been principally in the area of regulatory, permitting, EISs, rights of way. The progress, as you've seen here, has been more focused on alignment with the companies that actually have the leases with the gas and the technical engineering of the project, which is and the concept selection, which has made important strides over the course of the last year. So the other reason, and this wasn't in the state of the state, and again, I'll touch on this quickly because this committee's seen it before, is that we have some optimism here is because we have seen in the past year that when we've gone out and aggressively started to market and promote an Alaska gas project, an LNG project. And we do it, by the way, both the APP, AGDC, you'll see the slides that we use, that we have gone from, you know, a year ago where we weren't being talked about as a big project in the global marketplace to a project that we believe, and there's evidence for it, and I'll certainly mention it here, that a lot of entities are focusing on Alaska. They weren't doing it a year ago. They are now. We think many of the reasons have to do with what we see as comparative advantages of an Alaskan LNG project over other projects. So these next few slides are essentially what we've been presenting in Asia, whether it's the governor's trips to Japan and Korea, my trips to Japan, Korea, China, other one-on-one briefings that we've done to huge LNG conferences. This is how we are talking about what we see as the comparative advantages of Alaska gas commercialization. Obviously, the biggest one, Mr. Chairman, we see is the huge resource base. You know, there's many projects out there that talk about Russia gas, Mozambique gas, but, you know, they don't really know what they have. We know exactly what we have, which is one of the largest known conventional gas resources in the world. Second, and Mr. Chairman, you've seen these slides before, but we have a project that we say, whether it's AGDC, APP, or a combination of, that we already have a lot of the existing infrastructure, existing rights of way. We think that that's going to help with regard to permitting. And then this is something that in Asia, Mr. Chairman, we see as, in many ways, a real important aspect of our comparative advantages, which is the record of reliability. You have regions of the United States, you have regions of Canada saying, hey, we're going to be the answer with regard to what's going on in Asia, the needs, and yet the state of Alaska is the only place in all of North America that's ever exported any gas to Asia. We have an exceptional record of reliability. It's very well known, particularly in Japan and other parts in Asia. And, you know, although the LNG facility is small relative to other ones now, it's transported a lot of gas over the years, never missed one cargo shipment, and that record of reliability is important. We also have comparative advantages with regard to geographic proximity, political and legal stability, and importantly, cost competitiveness. We've had two different studies. State wasn't involved with these in the past year that showed that relative to other projects, the state of Alaska, particularly a large-scale LNG project, would have very strong competitiveness relative to other projects. We already have companies that are in the LNG business working this project, which is also very important with regard to how buyers look at potential suppliers. And we think, as I mentioned, that we have opportunities to help move forward with regard to permitting, both on the federal side and the state side, a project. And this is something that, again, since we've testified before this committee, that we've been working on with the companies, with Eric's group, with the federal coordinator, where we're starting to look at all the permits that are going to be required for any large-scale gas commercialization project, look at what has been issued previously. As you know, Mr. Chairman, this is probably one of the most studied routes in the country in terms of EISs, in terms of previous permits and authorizations, whether it was Yukon Pacific or other activities. And looking at that and getting and sitting down with the federal regulators and saying, we don't believe we need to start at zero on this permitting. And right now they're being quite receptive to that pitch. And we think that that can save us time and money, and making this project more cost competitive is one of the most critical things that we need to focus on. Now, that also goes for this whole debate in the lower 48 about export licenses. It's a raging debate right now whether and to what degree to allow for exports of LNG from the lower 48, and we don't think we're part of that debate. We think we've set up the federal agencies, whether it's Department of Energy, the White House, all the discussions we've had, as we've said, as you contemplate whether you're going to restrict exports of gas, please make sure that we're not part of that, because we bring a whole different set of circumstances to the debate. And as we've talked about, Mr. Chairman, their concern is you restrict or you export gas to Asia, you would then limit supplies to people who live in Ohio or Pennsylvania where that gas is coming from, and increase price. And there's a lot of economic activity, reindustrialization of the Midwest that's going on because of the low cost of gas. Our argument to them is those dynamics are actually flipped on their head in Alaska. A large-scale LNG or gas commercialization project would increase gas supplies to Alaskans, to Americans, to our military, maybe Hawaiians, and it would decrease the price. And we think that we've made strong inroads on that argument, and however that debate plays out, we're very confident that we're not going to be caught up in it. And as a matter of fact, we've shown the White House, we've shown the Department of Energy, this previous authorization from President Reagan, our lawyers think that this is still valid. They were not aware of it, and they've been looking at it. Whether they believe it's still valid or not, it certainly provides a precedent saying that large-scale gas exported from Alaska is not going to have a negative impact on the lower 48 gas market or lower 48 consumers.
Senator Machicki, question?
Yeah, Commissioner, and I know Senator Murkowski's been working on this for the last couple of years. Whedon was pretty strong on opposing large-scale exports. Are we staying engaged? How do we keep from becoming a sort of political football in that discussion?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, we've been staying very engaged. So, for example, he's now the acting Assistant Secretary of Energy, Chris Smith, who was the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Hydrocarbons. I have regular conversations with him. His shop is actually the shop that's the one focused on the issuing the export licenses for all gas exports. So we've stayed quite engaged with them, keeping them updated on the progress. But also, we've been staying engaged by watching the debate down in the lower 48. I'll give one example. You have companies like Dow that have been very strong proponents of free trade in the past, who are now being very vocal, and some others, of saying we should limit exports. We should limit exports because, again, they see it as a way to help American competitiveness, help jobs. They're looking at building chemical manufacturing facilities now back in the United States because of the low cost of gas. And we're staying in contact with those kind of companies as well to make sure that as they're messaging that, you know, which is in what they believe is their shareholder, their company's interest, that, again, they recognize that we're different. And even our discussions with companies like that have been, I think, useful, constructive. Mr. Chairman, finally, one of the things that we've been doing, and again, we think that this is important. We think it's important for all Alaska policymakers to recognize is when we have made these presentations, both in private and in public conferences, we do do a little comparison, and I won't go through each of these different areas, but these next few slides show us where we have our competition. And I think that's something that's really important for the state to recognize is that with regard to LNG, it's a global market, and it is something that is very, very competitive. We think that we bring comparative advantages over any of these projects. As I mentioned, Western Canada, British Columbia, we think is probably one of our biggest competitors with regard to they certainly see us as one. But you see Lower 48, all of these, and I won't go through each, but all of these have their own disadvantages. I'll just give one example. The First Nations issues in Western Canada are really significant. They don't look like they're going to be resolved anytime soon. And obviously, with regard to TAPS and ANCSA, we did resolve those issues in Alaska. And so in terms of our advocacy, we do highlight these other disadvantages with regard to the competition. There are other elements of what we see as our competition, certainly, and some of the disadvantages that emanate from those different sources of LNG. And we do think that this strategy, the governor mentioned it in the State of the State, we think this advocacy strategy is starting to bear fruit. We think it's important because it's what we view as what we've called our demand pull strategy. If you get enough companies, enough countries that are very interested in our project, whether it's AGDC, whether it's the big project, whether it's a combination of the two, because of all these comparative advantages, we think that that can certainly help accelerate and move this project forward. So we've sat down with the companies, some of whom aren't super excited that we go out and make the case on this. And we've told them that here's our goal, is that when you're starting to go to the CoGases and to the Tokyo Gases, and you're saying, we know you need gas for the next 10 to 20 years, here's our broad portfolio, Australia, Qatar, Russia, which a lot of the companies in Alaska have that broad portfolio. Our goal is to have those buyers say, Roger that. I know you got Qatar gas. As a matter of fact, I get gas from Qatar from you. I get gas from Australia from you. I don't want any more of that gas. We want Alaska gas. We think it brings advantages. We think it brings a diversity of supply. We think it brings additional energy security for our country. And that's what we're trying to get these countries and companies to recognize. And as I mentioned, we're starting to see some results. We had the CEO and chairman of CoGas, the largest buyers of LNG in the world, come to Alaska, come to Juneau here for 3 days for meetings in December. They're strongly interested in Alaska gas. We have a company, Resources Energy Incorporated. It's a group of Japanese companies. It's a consortium that set up shop in Anchorage. We've had other companies like Mitsui, and I'll tell you the other reason we think that we're back on the map is that we are now getting invited not just to attend but in speaking roles at some of the biggest LNG conferences in the world. So, for example, in September, I had the opportunity to speak, presented these comparative advantages to the Japan Producer Consumer LNG Conference, which at the time was probably the biggest LNG conference in the world with all the major buyers, all the major governments. And one thing that was very a welcome surprise was that when the Japanese officials who opened that conference, and everybody was there, the energy ministers from Australia, energy minister from Canada, energy minister from Qatar, top Russian officials from all these governments, from all these companies, when they opened the conference, the two senior, very elder statesmen, Japanese. This was a huge deal in Tokyo. When they welcomed the delegates, the first delegate, the group that they welcomed were the Qataris. Everybody focuses on the Qataris because they're over 50% of the LNG trade in the world, which is kind of amazing, but it's true. And after the Fukushima accident in Japan, Qatar really helped turn supplies to Japan when they desperately needed a lot of gas in a quick amount of time. So these two senior Japanese statesmen who was there opening the conference recognized the Qatari delegation. They thanked them. And then the only other delegation that they both recognized at this conference at the outset was the delegation from Alaska. And they said, we welcome the Alaskans here. Alaska was our first supplier. Alaska has been our most reliable supplier. They're the pioneers in the LNG trade, and we're glad they're here, and we're looking forward at the next phases of our relationship. So this was it. Everybody else, the Australians, the Russians, no one else got called out like that but us. And I talked to embassy officials later after that, told them about this, and they said, look, that's not an accident, right? There's an interest. And so we're excited about that, but we recognize that we need to do much more. But I will mention just one other thing. The largest LNG conference called LNG 17, it's this huge confab that happens different places around the world once every 2 or 3 years. This year it's in Houston. And about 2 weeks ago we got a call from the organizers asking us to speak on the panel about North American export opportunities. So again, we see that we're on the map where we should be. I should say back on the map, because obviously we were the pioneer in this area. And we see that as important for the overall pace and success of this project. But we recognize, as the governor said in his State of the State, a lot more has to happen. He laid out in the State of the State additional benchmarks. You saw that on February 15th, the companies did come back with a concept selection. But again, I'll just leave this message with regard to the spring and summer. It's really important that the summer field work gets done, that the companies move into pre-feed, and that, as we talked about the state's two efforts, that we're making sure that we're staying closely aligned, but also avoiding redundant costs. And those are what the governor laid out. As I mentioned, you saw in February the details of the concept selection that the companies came back with. I know some of you have seen these slides already. We think, again, that's important work. But the big message that we want to send here is continuing to press on the timelines and the acceleration. So, Mr. Chairman, in conclusion, I would just say, as I mentioned, we see that the state, LNG, large-scale gas commercialization, certainly back on the map in terms of the global stage. There's been good efforts, or good progress from both of the state's efforts. As you know, Mr. Chairman, the governor's energy, the LNG trucking plan, complements these efforts by focusing on getting gas to interior Alaska and other areas as soon as possible through the trucking, but also helping to build out the infrastructure in Fairbanks and other places. So when we have large-scale gas commercialization, the infrastructure is in place to take advantage of it. I think probably the most important issue here is this issue focused on continued alignment of key stakeholders. We certainly see the state and the citizens of Alaska as the number one stakeholder. But as you know, Mr. Chairman, there's many other elements of this. There's the producers, there's the buyers, there's the market, there's the state regulators, there's the federal government regulators. And one of the key things we've seen, and you know, I've tried to get up to speed on some of the history. I think Larry Pursley's shop has done a great job of laying out the history of gas commercialization efforts over the last 40 years, is that when you don't have alignment among these key stakeholders, it makes progress more difficult. Not impossible, but more difficult. And what we're cautiously optimistic about right now is we're starting to see the pieces of that alignment come together. And I honestly think that if we get into that pre-feed phase, that's going to be a milestone that will be quite important with regard to key stakeholders aligning around a project where the companies will be spending, you know, hundreds of millions of their own dollars on moving that project forward. As I mentioned, the regulatory and permitting issues are critical. And finally, this issue of everybody working together. We need to recognize that. And I think I'm stealing this quote from Larry Pursley, but I saw he mentioned moving from fighting over different gas lines to fighting for a gas line, because the opportunity is not going to be open forever. And the competition certainly is fierce. And if we're working together, which I think we've been certainly trying to do, that's the best way to move this forward. And as you see, none of the state's efforts are we don't see them as in conflict with each other at all. We see all of these pieces moving together in an important way. And really the key message here is that message of working together as Alaskans, as policymakers, both in the executive branch and legislative branch, and encouraging that accelerated progress when you're talking to different companies. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know some of this has been a review, but we wanted to update you on this areas of developments since we testified last and some of the progress. Thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner. That's a good update. I got I had several questions. First off, did I read in the paper where the DNR is advertising for an LNG guy to go out and?
Correct. So what that is it relates to, and you know, and we're going to evaluate that. That would be a short-term contract, but it relates to the issue of building on what we see as the progress we've made on the advocacy front in Asia. So we certainly, you know, have used the different connections that we have in state government with regard to getting in front of the right decision makers in different countries to lay out the comparative advantages of Alaska gas commercialization. But we see that that effort in many ways can be enhanced, and we have put out an RFP for entities that have those connections, that have those areas of expertise. We got three RFPs back with regard to that request, and we're evaluating them.
Okay. Second thing I have is TC now? They're part of the integrated team now. There, I saw that in the org chart. So they're staffing back up, and people are working together again. Eric, are they getting engaged?
So their involvement in the technical part of the project is through APP, and so the same guys that have been working on the project are still providing information for the South Central LNG. Steve Butt was up here last month and gave a presentation on their progress, and Jack Beattie was standing right next to him. So the big focus was on the midstream, on the pipeline. They've come together. They've had a lot of ideas, and this, again, just underlying this issue of alignment, they need to go through a lot of these same issues together, and that's what they've accomplished.
But their focus on the midstream.
So the summer field season, where do you see the biggest amount of work?
I think the significant work is going to be north of Bottomville.
Okay. All right. And the last thing I saw is the labor schedule. We're looking north of 15,000 all in. And I'd like at some point in time it gets a little closer as an update. On how they execute, how they plan on executing, because 15,000, that's a lot of people. If we're going to, we had talked about the TC project was going to be done in phases and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, this is now an in-state project, and timing's the issue. So if they're planning on commencing from A to Z at one time, we're going to have to be prepared, and we're going to have to spend some money on training.
We would welcome the opportunity to brief on that, and hopefully we will have that challenge someday if we had that many jobs associated with this project. One other thing that relates to that I forgot to mention: a lot has been made about the $45 to $65 billion range of this project. And again, I think the message that we've been saying is that from the state's perspective, it's critical that we try to keep that. We do all we can, whether it's with regard to permitting, whether it's regard to making this as competitive as possible with regard to keeping that price tag in the lower range of that 45 to 65, because again, the competition on this is pretty fierce globally.
It's not cheap either to reconvert an import terminal to an export terminal, I wouldn't think, but Senator Chickie might, he knows a little bit about it.
No, the import terminals are the lower cost ones. Once the tanks are built, that's the biggest cost, but liquefaction's expensive.
Any other questions? Senator Cogwell? Dan, I'd like to thank you and your staff. Today is very informative. Our next meeting will be held March 26th, 7:30 a.m. Tanana Chief Conference will be here, as well as Bernie Carl will be speaking on renewable energy in Alaska. I'll have a further update for the committee for maybe one or two, maybe over the session hearings on in-state energy. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.